Thank you, Shiloh. Appreciate that. Pastor Lois, I want to make sure that we, again, sometimes we don't thank our worship team enough. So thank you again for all of our worship team, singers, instruments. Great blessing that you help us come into the presence of God. The ushers pass out one of these little forms. I don't know if you got one. If not, you can raise your hand. They'll make sure they get one to you. These are just some new areas to get involved with in our church family. Back in the back in our Mission Central, there's a place to put these once you fill them out. But some of the new areas is guest connections team. We really, really want to make sure our guests and people who are starting to come be a part of the church, help get connected, understand. There's several areas there that ones can get involved with. A testimony team. I know there's lots of testimonies, and we don't get to hear them. Very few of us. And there are so many great things that God's done, he is doing. And so we're looking for somebody to help video those, and maybe we can show them every once in a while. We want to put them on our webpage. And so we're looking for a team to do that, a team to help do some fun meals together. If you'd like to do that, that's just great to get together and eat together every once in a while. Some fun activities. I know there was a group who did the Eco Family Center last week, and it was a great event. I think Pastor Tom said they had like over 120 people out there last week. So that was a great time. And a publicist team is just for ones to get to know just the good things. There's a lot of great things that God's doing in here, through here, to people here. We want to give them opportunity to connect. So if you want to look through that, and if there's something that you'd like to be involved with, you can circle it. Somebody will just get a hold of you, maybe explain a little bit more. If you circle it and fill it out, doesn't mean that you're committed, that you have to do it. We will further explain. But you could put those in the back or just give them to me afterwards. As most of you know, you've seen it in a bulletin, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to start with, we'll read through the first few verses there. And the first few verses, Jesus was referring to the fasting. And he was saying, that's okay, Dina. When you fast, this is starting in verse 16. And it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's something in the scriptures as far as reading the Bible and understanding the Bible. There are certain basic rules of interpretation. And this is not just true in scriptures, it's true in a lot of life. But one of the main rules is called context. And that is, it's always important to look at what's the context of this scripture. There's so many times scripture is taken out of context. People just whip them around and throw them all over the place, and they have nothing to do with what they're trying to relate it to. And so when we talk about context, the context of that verse and the verses around it, the book, the people it's written to, the Testament, New or Old Testament, and the whole Bible, and God himself. And so there's lots of context. When we look at a scripture, realize you can look at it, and then it's important to see what's around it. And as you've looked at these verses here, I know Pastor Tom shared last week about an excellent message on forgiveness. We are so blessed to have Pastor Tom on here as part of our church. He's great, and Shiloh, the family. He's just a great, great blessing to us. But he shared a great message last week on prayer. But the context that Jesus was referring to here is basically he was talking about doing things for show, but that wasn't the root. That wasn't really where it was going. And we find in verse 19 that he begins to get down to what is the root issue we're really dealing with here. And verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal. Now, treasures don't always have to be tangible items. In fact, a lot of things that Jesus was referring to here was intangible, things you can't see. For example, praise from other people. And the fact of just the being accepted, wanting to feel your part. Some of these aren't wrong, It's just, but it's just the motivation, the main motivation of our heart. And he was addressing some life's perspective. Just how we see things and how we look at things. And it's important to consider, what is my perspective of life? What is my view? Where is it coming from? Where did this view come from? The word perspective, there's perspective in art, but there's perspective means a particular attitude toward a way or way of regarding something or a point of view. So sometimes it's good to stop and say, is my perspective in context with God? Or what context is it in? Is it over here? Where is perspective? There's a little video I found that Dean is going to play for us here on perspective. It's not a funny video. It's a cool video. I thought it was pretty cool. There's a video that I liked. And it's my perspective, yeah. Just from my perspective, this is a cool video. So Apple didn't necessarily apply that to church, but I think it's great applicable for us, just our perspective and how we see things. But how do we know we have the right perspective? You know, our perspective actually should be different from the world culturally. The Bible says we're the salt of the earth, light of the world. So what makes us that? How do we get that? And I don't know about you, but I know I need my perspective adjusted at times. How many know what it means to check someone in hockey? You ever seen somebody get checked in hockey? You ever seen watch a hockey game where they get slammed? That's checking. So they're checking. And I think that'd be fun to be the person that's checking, not the person that's getting checked. Some of those guys get, oh my. I thought, yeah. So, but you know, I don't know about you, but I need checked by God. I go along and I have these perspectives, and they are so off. And I believe they're right. I believe I'm just doing fine, and all of a sudden God checks me. It's like, oh, I mean, frustrated. I'm sure those guys who get checked get frustrated. They didn't see that coming. And you ever been checked by God? Checked by the Holy Spirit, where it's just you were going along and you had that puck and you were going down, then bam. It's like, oh, I'm off. Something's, Lord, thank you for doing that. For the Holy Spirit helping check me. In verse 19 or verse 20, it says here, I think it's in this scripture. It says, we'll just read the whole thing. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. The next verse says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We'll stop there. You know, there's really basically only a couple of treasures we can take to heaven. One is people. The people God's given us around us, sharing that gospel. The second one is our obedience. What we do. What we do with what he's given us. You know, what we do with the time, the talents. You know, that doesn't mean that you compare other people. It's not a matter, was it, you know, when Jesus gave the different talents to the different people, wasn't a matter compared to whether they got two, he got three, one. It's what you did, what I did with what I got. All of them basically ended up about the same as what I got, what I did with what I have. But this scripture, though, Jesus keeps digging. He goes a little bit deeper. He starts pulling back these layers. You know, he says, well, you know, really, don't do this for show and talk about treasures. But really what he's getting down to, and it's in this scripture here, it says, next one says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So Jesus is getting down to where the real issue is a matter of the heart. And the heart basically is where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to end up. Whatever our treasure is. And you know, we have a choice of what that treasure is. We have a freedom. I know there's been, and you probably heard it, people say, well, I don't have a choice. I was born this way or this happened. We have a choice of the decisions we make. All of us were born with a sinful nature. That's just the way it is. All of us are born. But in that process, we have a choice of continuing living out of that sinful nature or living the new nature that's available to us through a born-again experience through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in us. We have that choice. I think God, that his heart is that he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come to know him. He wants everybody to have the abundant life. And again, here's perspective. What is an abundant life? Yeah, is it what the world says? And that's all kinds of different things. And again, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's nothing wrong. But it's like James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, said one time. He says, it's not a matter of having stuff. It's a matter of, does the stuff have you? And are we enslaved to that stuff? Are we good stewards and enjoying the things God gives us? But God wants every one of us to be free. And that's why we look at things in life. Anything in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, anything that hinders us or any sin that stops us, lay it aside. Get rid of it because that's not part of the abundant life. That's what I look at. You know, when I know there's been a lot of debate on homosexuality and that whole thing. I think that's something that's hindering people. That's a sin that's hindering people from having that abundant life. It's not the only sin there is. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there with drugs and fornication and pornography and all kinds of stuff. Anything that hinders us, anything that hinders someone to walking with God or walking in that relationship, receiving that abundant life, the Bible says, put it aside. Put it aside. So when we share with these ones, when we share with ones that we find that are in these situations, the goal is to, whatever's entrapping them is help them be set free from that. It's not condemning them and as an individual, because Jesus Christ died for every one of us, every single person. But it's whatever's hindering them. The goal for us, I feel, as Christians, is to help remove hindrances in their life. And that takes wisdom. It's not just a switch that you just flip on and off, you know, because they're people just like us. Just like I have been entangled in sin. I've been entangled in things. And if somebody come up and just tell me, I mean, it's no revelation to say, you're in sin. Yeah. So what else is new? You know, it's a matter of, How do I get out of this? And you talk to me, help me have that, and show me that in love. The scripture, Paul told Timothy, he says, when we're sharing with ones, he says, be kind, be gentle, love them. This is somebody Jesus died for. Love them, be kind. And sometimes that's hard, especially when they're coming at you, you know, right at you. I remember when I just got saved, I didn't know anything in the Bible except John 3:16. That's the only verse. And I remember I was at OSU, and this young man told me, he says, we were talking to some Christians, and he says, I won't say what he said, but because I can't repeat that. But basically, he was telling me that if you believe this, then you're certain other things. And now my old nature wanted to punch him and say, there's what Jesus is all about, boom. But the Holy Spirit checked me. Thank God. That's not a good witness to hit people, you know. And just the Holy Spirit said, just listen and just keep loving and listen. There's something about listening to people that helps unravel them. It's like they could be all wound up. You ever heard of Chuck Swindoll? You ever heard of Chuck Swindoll? And I might have shared a story, but that's okay. It's my perspective. Chuck Swindoll was at a conference with some other pastors, and they were staying in a hotel, and this lady was there, an older lady who worked at the hotel, one of the cleaning ladies, was showing them up to wherever this conference room or something, and she was a Jehovah's Witness, and Jehovah's Witness, we believe, is a cult. It's off. It's their teachings and stuff is off. And she started telling him all about her faith and everything. And these guys who was with Chester Dole was really angry at him that why he was not jumping all over her and telling her she was wrong and all the scriptural references, she was wrong and you're wrong in this and wrong with that. And Chuck Swindoll, they got him when there was a moment there, the guy says, what are you doing? You know, why aren't you just telling her all this truth and letting her tell you this? And he says, turn to him, he goes, now that wouldn't be love, would it? And after a long time of letting her share her heart and everything, then she began to ask him about his faith and what he believed and stuff. There's something about valuing people that opens doors for you to give you the right to get to speak into the light. People are not just a product. They're not a marketing tool. They're not a Christian marketing tool that says, I'm going to get you saved and you saved and you saved so I feel better about myself. What about just loving them as Jesus and have compassion on them because Jesus wants them free? Just loving them. And sometimes that takes patience. Sometimes you have to wait on that. And just love, it's just like people aren't just going to believe you love them just because you ran into them for 60 seconds and said something nice. You know, it's loving. Sometimes it might take a year or 5 years or 10 years. But keep loving ones, and it opens those doors. All of us need a Savior. And Matthew 22 says the eye is the lamp of the body. And it talks about us having healthy eyes. And I know at this point in my time, my life, and I still would say I don't have total healthy eyes. What I see is healthy. The word healthy there means clear, single. Means a focus. And I know that it's healthier than what it was. I know way I used to see things. And it was as the world saw things. I was brought up in the world. I was raised in the world. My friends were the world. And I saw things as the world did. I believed the way the world believed. And I thought that was right. Thought that was the correct way because that's the way my perspective, that's my view. And then the Holy Spirit, I received Jesus as a Savior when I was 19, and the Holy Spirit began to change things. But all of a sudden, I didn't have perfect vision. It wasn't like, boom, I just saw everything right. It's a work that God continues to do inside of us, inside of me, and continues to process that I can have things. And I know, I'll speak for myself, but I know it's true. Oh, you too. I know. that I know that I think, I'm here. I know what I believe is right. And then the Holy Spirit shows me that it was wrong. Maybe it was a little bit right, but the attitude on that rightness was wrong. And the perspective. And it's, I don't know about you, but it frustrates me that that happens to me. It's frustrating. Think, man, God, I thought I had this and I thought I had it right. And it's like, bam, you know, no, that's wrong, and you're not seeing things right. But thank be to God, he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't quit. He doesn't walk away and say, you are a waste of time. I think that he is patient with each one of us and keeps coming back to us. You know, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God's kindness leads us to repentance. I thank God that he's kind to me. That sometimes it might take a year or 2 years or a lifetime for him to get me to certain places. But sooner or later, that kindness causes me to repent. And I thank him that he lets me repent over the same thing more than once. Because I know I've tripped. And I got back up all confidence, tripped again. I got back all confidence, tripped again. And I thank him that he continually helps me to get back up, continually works with me. Have you ever been to a place that you had to give a ticket or had to pay to get in or something like that? Somebody is there, either a person or a machine. Now, it's really nice when those machines don't work and they just let you in for free. I let you out for free. Yeah, that goes. Well, figured, hey, it's not my problem. You don't need to say anything anymore. Just talk over there. Shh. You're not supposed to be talking. But see, you made me feel bad now. You check me. You check me, Deb. You check me. But I still gonna go through that. If it's up, I'm going through. I just figured it. Anyways, you know, there's something regulating that gate. You know, we regulate the gates of our heart. We regulate what comes in and what we allow in. And what comes in, or what we allow in, is going to come out some way. Pastor Tom talked about having unforgiveness. Well, unforgiveness, if we have it, it's going to come out. Maybe not exactly look like the way it came in, but it's going to come out. And the same thing, anything else in our life, if we're putting stuff in there that is unhealthy, it's going to come out some way. Somehow it's going to come out. In Psalms 19, verse 14, Dina, I'm done with that, so you can go ahead and turn that off. It says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That was a prayer King David said. That's a prayer I pray for myself, I pray for my family, and I pray for us as a church. That the meditations of our heart, which basically is going to affect the words of our mouth, would be pleasing to him. The meditations of my heart, what I'm thinking of, what I'm resting my thoughts upon, will be pleasing unto him. Usually, what I meditate upon is going to be some resemblance of what my treasures are. What I'm really thinking a lot. Now, my treasure, though, could be worry. I treasure. I'm so addicted to living a life of worry that I just keep it. And that's all I do. There's something that, and these are things you have to watch, that we could get so convinced that we're so useless, like a drug, that we could be drugged with worry, that we don't know how not to worry. I got to worry because that's what I've been. That's who I am. That's what I've been with all my life. I bet we can be set free from those things by trusting God. In Psalms 1, it says this. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, does not walk in the things the world says, and what the world says, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. When I see that, it's not necessarily that I'm meditating, and I think it's good to meditate on the scripture, but I'm meditating about God. What is God doing? God, what are you doing in my life? And as I meditate on that, his promise is this. In verse 3, it says, they would be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields their fruit in season. In other words, when it's ready to happen, it happens. When God wants you to accomplish something, it happens. And the leaf does not wither. There's no sense of withering. There's no sense of death going on as far as your life and as far as things not happen. It says, and all that they do, they will prosper. Now that's the promise as we let the meditations of our heart be upon him. Meditations of our heart being on what he's saying and what his ways. And that helps us have these healthy eyes. So some of that, when we look about meditation, look at helping to have clear vision, the scripture gives us, there's so many answers in the scripture, tells us how to make this happen. And one of the first ones in Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenge. Because there's a lot of things that aren't true, it's not noble and stuff that I can start thinking about. You know, just turn on the news. I don't even have to turn on the news. I can come up with it myself, you know. That you can start worrying about this and this isn't working. And what about that? What about the future? What about all these things? And what about them and this person? They did that. We're just so caught up in so much. What about myself? It says, the first thing it says is whatever is true. Am I thinking about myself in truth? Or was it the way I was brought up? What was said about me? My experiences, my failures, my successes, and what I have, what I don't have? Or am I building it upon the scripture, what the scripture says? So what we meditate upon, and which goes, the big thing is the word of God. Why it's so important to be a person of the word of God. Our eyes aren't going to get much clearer than they were than the world if we don't have the word of God in there helping to cleanse us. Then in Ephesians 5:26, the Bible says, it says, making her holy. Now, it was referring to a husband-wife relationship, but it also refers to the church. It talks about Christ and the church. Cleansing her by washing with the water through the word. There's something about the word washing us. In Jesus, in the prayer in John 17, Jesus said this, says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means a purity. There's a sense of setting aside. There's something about being in the Bible that does a cleansing in our eyes, the way we see things, our soul. Now, I'm not saying that every time you read the Bible, you're going to pass out from Revelation. It's like, wow, that was just awesome. Or are you going to go write a book? Well, I got another book here or something. There's just reading the Bible, being in the Bible. Whatever that means to you, you know, it could be 5 verses a day, it could be two chapters, whatever. Whatever it means to you, there's something, though, about being in the Word that helps cleanse that lens in our eye. There's something that helps that within us. But we so much need the Holy Spirit to help us read that Word. The Bible has been so distorted, so abused throughout history. People have taken it and used it just for all kinds of negative things because the Holy Spirit, they didn't apply. Let the Holy Spirit show them what it really means and the heart of God in it. So whenever you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see what God's original intent. God, what is your heart here? What's your context? Not mine. What's your context? If I put it in my context, it means who knows what. But if I put it in his context, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and you start putting it in that context, it's a whole, that God blesses the unrighteous and righteous. He provides for the unrighteous and the righteous. This is God's heart. When you start putting things in that context, it's like, oh. You ever thought, you ever looked at people's lives and thought, that could be me? That's something when I talk to someone who's caught in sin or had something in their life, I thought, that could be me. I can't stand up here proud and say, boy, you're such a sinner. You're such a louse because, Lord, that could be me. I could be worse if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life. Another thing as far as helping us is faith, trusting God. And James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In other words, there's something unclear there. And sometimes we get Christianity, we get it so complicated. We try to make things so complicated. And really it comes down to trust God. If you don't try to figure everything out, just trust Him. It doesn't mean we don't need wisdom, we don't need to make decisions and stuff. But bottom line, there's a trust that goes on, which is the next thing in James later on in 4:7. It says this: submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise. But the first part of that promise is we submit. In other words, we're saying to our soul, God, I trust you. I don't know what's going on. I understand this. It's not the way I choose. I don't like it. But I'm going to trust you and walk in what you told me to do. He says we do that. We resist the devil. This is our part. It's not like God. It's not like we're a puppet. God's going to stick his hand in us and make us do all kinds of stuff. We have a decision to make. We have a part. Our will has to interact with God's will in this. It says resist the devil. So I'm not going to do that, devil. But he promises, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And then it goes on and says, again, challenges to purify yourselves. The two more verses, one in 1 Peter. This Peter talks about, this again, our part. It says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That's something we do. And, you know, that's not something that we did one time when we got saved. That we said, Jesus, I receive you. I'm setting apart you as Lord. And then that means then from there on, we just go do whatever we want. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to do that many times in one day. That Jesus, you're Lord. If something comes in, a worry, a thought, Jesus, you're Lord. I'm going to set apart you as Lord. In other words, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to believe what you said. I'm going to focus. I'm going to meditate upon you. And the last thing as far as cleansing our heart, and this is something I know some do it, but it's something I think in our society we don't do it a lot, and that's confession. Confessing before God. Being honest with God. God, that's wrong in there, God. I'm wrong. I messed up. Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, sometimes we put sins again in a tangible thing, that I actually did something, that I actually physically did something, I sinned. But there's a lot of intangible sins. It's in here. If you read Sermon on the Mount, a lot of the Sermon on the Mount was in here, that Jesus was dealing with heart issues. What are you thinking? Why are you feeling that? Why are you looking at somebody that way? You know, what's going on? What are you doing? And say, Lord, I confess that I messed up, that I sinned, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But there's the promise. He says, if we confess that, he is faithful and just and will not only forgive us of that, but purify us. He will cleanse that lens in our heart. So it's good to confess. It shouldn't be something that's an abnormal thing or something that feels like, boy, I've never done that. I don't hardly ever do that. It's good to confess. And it doesn't have to be a sin. It's, Lord, maybe I haven't been kind enough to somebody, or maybe I haven't been patient enough with somebody. Again, it's not just something I've done. It's maybe something I didn't do. I haven't done. Lord, help me. And he will help me make that happen. If we can have a musician come on up, please. If we go ahead and stand. The little activation I'd like us to do is just to, if we put our hands just around our eyes, you don't have to put them right over them, but just around our eyes, and we're going to just pray and believe for God to help us see clearly, help our perspective be his perspective. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We don't just need what's in our mind and what we figure out, but we need you, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation, to bring understanding, to help us see in your context, God, in your love, in your kindness, in your compassion, in your wisdom, in your plan, in your will. Lord, your heart for all people, God, to come to know Christ. Help us see clearly, God. Help us be set free from anything that hinders us, and give us wisdom to help others to be set free from anything that hinders them. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your commitment to us, God, that you don't give up on us, that you are our good shepherd, and you constantly care for your sheep. In Jesus' name.